O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the week of Thanksgiving.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Giving, so you're a little busy. Here's something you can check off your list. Holiday shopping at Macy's. Because Black Friday is happening right now. You don't have to wait until Friday to get the season's best savings on the best gifts. You don't even have to wait until the end of this message. Head over to Macy's now and save big. If you go to Macy's.com, you can get your gifts shipped for free when you spend $25 or more. That's one less thing on your to-do list. Exclusions apply. See Macy's.com for details.
I know there are some students here. I'll pick one or two in addition. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then excellent contribution from our panelists. My name is Richard Sechler from Urban Better Citizens. We are for Clean Air. My question is, I can see this, what you are doing here, it comprises of an initiative, and then we all, the EPA, and the Ministry of Roads, and others supposed to work intercontinentally. I want to ask, if they are going to construct the road, do they, consult the EPA, what they're supposed to do, or the road contractors, they just go and just make anyway, and then they go? Most of the times, as Prof said, when they do the construction, there are no pedestrians crossing the road construction. They don't bring any bicycle lane for us to walk. They just do it and do it straight forward, they go. So do they consult the EPA? Or they just go and do their own thing.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. I'd like to take two more final questions, but from ladies. I'm going to be gender biased. Ladies, I see a number of you here who haven't spoken. Yes, you're looking at me smiling. I see you. Are you students? And students don't want to talk. You don't want to ask questions. Yes.
Okay, so my name is Stephanie from UPSA, a communication student. So I would agree with what Mami said, enforcement, but what I would like to add up is that we Ghanaians are intentional when it comes to waste. So we should be intentional about keeping and making everything neat. When it comes to the raining season, that is when the hormones of filth come up. You see the gutters being choked and the rubbish out there. These are the things that breeds a lot of sicknesses and respiratory disease for us. But when we are intentional about health and then air, we actually have a clean environment in Ghana. Thank you.
Brilliant point. Brilliant point. Thank you so much. Any other?
Excuse me. Can I add something very quickly? When we're talking about segregating rubbish, we have organizations like CESA Recycling. In fact, eco-conscious citizens, we have two receptacles for plastics. So the community can come there and put their plastics there. Then CESA Recycling comes to collect them. But even then, you find the compounds, the streets still littered with plastics, even though the community in Adenta and also in Ladade Kotopom are aware that they are receptacles. But so I'll say that it's not the case that it will all be put together. If you separate your plastics, and then every so often you come and put it in the receptacle. CESA Recycling comes to collect them, and it's recycled. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making that point. So let's all start doing it, and it will catch on. Sometimes it takes one person. We'll be concluding this conversation shortly on Joy News, and we'll just continue briefly after that. But for those of you watching us live on Joy News, we'll be concluding the conversation shortly. I need one more lady. Any? I saw this gentleman's hand up. I'll take you. If I get one more lady, fine. If not, we'll come to the panel, take our responses, including from Dr. Krugu, and then call it a day.
Okay, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Kofi Mawedem Noel from the University of Professional Studies, Accra. So my question is, how are we going to balance economic growth with environmental sustainability, particularly in the context of air pollution? That's my question.
Interesting question. Straight to the point. Any lady going? One? Two? I guess it's gone. All right, let me start with Dr. Krugu for responses. Please, let's get the microphone to Dr. Krugu for his response. There were some questions targeted at him, I believe, for him to get some answers. That's Dr. Krugu right there. Let's get the microphone to him.
Thank you very much. And I would contribute to ensuring gender balance by leaving the charcoal burning to my colleague from EPA to comment on. But road constructions, I think there are two or three questions that refer to that. I mean, first of all, to make it very clear, you cannot construct a road without obtaining permit from the EPA. So that should be clarified. But as a people, I think that you cannot have a policeman to get everybody to do the right thing. And that is what I call for attitudinal change. All of us have to have that responsibility to be able to keep the air clean. When we permit and our monitors go and we try to enforce the environmental and social responsibilities that comes in the construction phase, then you get into all kinds of criticism. And sometimes you are seen to even be the one who's trying to delay the work. If you insist that certain measures ought to be put in place, or if you insist that certain time limits has to be followed. And
are the politicians part of the problem?
It's a collective responsibility.
No, you're not answering.
All
me.
Of us.
Are the politicians part
yes,
of the problem?
Yes, yes. Politicians are part, and all of us are in it. And sometimes I give you an example. This year we've had a lot of challenges that when it comes to road construction, and when we begin to insist, then people say we must finish in order to commission it to score political points. And so while you are trying to make sure that the regulations are followed and insist especially on social risk management, normally when it is funded by the World Bank and other things where the dedicated funding is easy, when it is GOG funding, it's quite challenging. My colleague will comment on charcoal burning.
Okay, so when it's GOG funded, it's pretty challenging. We all know of that. The little point I'll make in addition is, while I agree with you, commissioning any government's tenure, it extends to the 6th, getting into the 7th of January. But when it takes you 8 years, then sometimes, you know, you run into some of these challenges. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. When it comes to the charcoal burning, we all agree that the process of burning the charcoal also contributes to air pollution. But this is something we have been doing, and that is, like, it's been discussed, what people are living on. But there are sustainable ways of doing it, where the pollution that comes of it from it is reduced. And we have tried promoting some of these sustainable technologies for those that come to EPA to take permits. But you agree that for the charcoal production, most of these are produced in the hinterland, where nobody even knows where they are. And that is where it becomes difficult for one to identify and even make suggestions as to what has to be done. So like we are discussing here, I think it is the responsibility of all, if we know where it is being done and we can help in creating awareness, I think we should do that, because like we said, it affects all of us.
Madam, quick point. What is the EPA doing to identify these spots? Because, I mean, it can't be so hidden that we can't find them and communities can't. What is the EPA doing in that regard?
Well, the those kind of activities doesn't directly fall under EPA. And there are a number of stakeholders that must come together if we really want to address this. So maybe we should look at that collective approach to identify and intentionally to intentionally identify them and deal with the issue.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let me come to our three panelists, and that's how we'll conclude after you're done. Doc, I'll start with you. Any reactions to what has been said? So, Dr. Usu. Starting with you.
All right. So the question about sweepings. So we don't always need to physically use a broom. Sometimes it is not so dirty, and the leaders or the teachers can supervise the picking. But we try to encourage caregivers of children with specific problems to inform the school teachers so that they are exempted from some of these activities that would, in a sense, harm them. We also educate the children to know when to wear face masks. I mean, that will be a moment where face masks will come in handy. We have highlighted that most of the public schools were the ones that had no paved floors, so, and that's where the children spend maybe 2-3 hours of the school time playing whilst waiting for their caregivers to pick them. So it's a significant problem. I remember discussing with Mr. Appiah about if we can improve the surface of some of the schools with some greening aspect. I don't know, maybe grass. But definitely, it's a significant risk. So it needs to be addressed, and it has to start with education.
Right. Thank you very much. Prof?
I think I'll tackle the issue on how we can balance economic growth with environmental
sustainability. And please make your submissions as bite-sized as possible.
Yes, very crisp. Yeah. I think it's a very important question or issue that the gentleman raised. But in the submission of EPA, the CEO outlined a number of things that can be done in the industrial sector, you know, so that at least we can clean pollution from that angle. But government should not be oblivious to the fact that in as much as you want to grow the economy, it also comes with some consequences for environmental issues like air pollution. And that is the more reason why we need to find a way to balance it. But how do we balance it? We need the data to show. You know, as a country, we are bereft of air pollution data. And that is one area we have to invest. So that whilst we have monitors around, we'll be able to know that the industrialization agenda is creating more pollution, and then we can be able to address those issues. Yeah, so that's the key.
That's a very interesting point. For example, Prof's party says a 24-hour economy. What will that bring in terms of air quality, right? We have to look at all of
those. Yeah, we have to interrogate all those things. I think we have to interrogate
Prof,
all those
at another
things.
Forum, we'll have the time to look at some of those. Dr. Jabo.
Thank you very much. So I would briefly touch on the waste part, and then also briefly touch on some of the resources that we can think of. So what we can, I'll first start off by giving props to the Green African Youth Organization, GAYO. GAYO won the Headshot Prize for a project they are doing in Accra, which is co-funded by Clean Air Fund and Global Methane Hub. What they are doing is encouraging low-income households to segregate their waste. They then give them some remuneration when they give the waste to them. And so if you properly segregate your waste, you make some income. They also use the organic waste they collect to do compost and encourage them to do community gardens. So you also get some resources from that. In the end, this is only one of the many things we can do when it comes to waste. In our own communities, we can form a collective and find ways and means of utilizing what we consider as waste to even do organic compost or other things that can benefit all of us. It shouldn't be left to only the local government or to any individual. It should also be something we find interesting or we find interest in to do so we can protect our environment and also protect our health. When it comes to the way we can think of, when it comes to generating resources to manage our air pollution, there are so many ways we can think of that we don't only need to depend on the things we engage in looking for money externally.
Right.
Internally, we should look at how we can ensure that we are raising the little money we can. In schools, there are lots of schools that have stopped burning their waste now. They segregate them and sell it. and used it to do end of year parties for the students. And it's a very good initiative.
Right.
In some schools, they segregate the organic waste and use it to do farming in the communities where they share the vegetables to the students. It's these little initiatives we can take on our own that do not require huge capital income or even external funding, but still goes a long way to protect our health and the environment at the end of the day. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Please, one more time, let's put our hands together for the panel members. So this is where we're going to draw the curtains on the conversation. We're very grateful to all of you for making yourselves a part of it. Clean air is a business for all of us, including the students from the University of Professional Studies, Accra. Thank you for participating in this. Hopefully, there's a lot that you'll take back into your classrooms and to your friends. Spread the good message. Awula Sewa of the Eco-Conscious Citizens, All Protocols Observed, those from the World Bank, among others. I'd also like to acknowledge Desmond Appiah, Country Director, Clean Air Fund, and we acknowledge the Clean Air Fund for actually doing this, helping us bring this. Vibeke Pedersen, Deputy Ambassador of the Embassy of Denmark in Ghana, we're grateful to you for your time. Let me also acknowledge our panel members, Dr. Sandra Kwating-Owusu, Senior Lecturer, Department of Child Health, School of Medical Sciences at the KNUSD. Thank you so much. Professor Kofi Amega, Vice Dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Cape Coast. Thank you, sir, for joining the conversation. Dr. Elvis Tre Jabo, Portfolio Manager, Clean Air Fund, or Breathe Cities. Thank you, sir, for joining the conversation. For those who joined the political interaction, we have Professor Martin Oting Abibio, Chair of the NDC's Manifesto Subcommittee on the Environment. Thank you, Prof, for joining. Courage Nobi is with the Movement for Change.
O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Joined the conversation, and Issa Abdul Salam is the CPP's Ashanti Regional Secretary. He also represented the CPP. We've done this in our collective interest as citizens. We need clean air. It's a basic human right. So even as you go out there, that's why we titled it the National Dialogue on Clean Air and Election 2024. As you go out there to vote, think before you do so. My name is Benjamin Akako. Thank you for joining us for this dialogue on Joy News and, of course, on Joy 99.7 FM and myjoyonline.com. Thank you for watching.
People, election day is almost here. This December 7th, from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. sharp, each of us has the power to shape the future of our nation. Your vote in the presidential and parliamentary elections can make a real difference. Now, this is how to ensure that your vote counts. When you arrive at the polling station, verify your identity. Even if your voter ID card is missing, go to your polling station. You will be allowed to vote. Now, receive a ballot paper. Take a moment to check that it has a validating stamp at the back. This is very important, and make sure that it is clean and undamaged. Step up to the voting screen. Place your thumb on the ink pad and carefully place it in the box next to your chosen candidate's name, photo, and symbol. Be very careful to keep your thumbprint within the box. Remember to wipe your thumb with the tissue provided in the voting screen before you touch the ballot paper again. Then fold the ballot lengthwise and place it in the ballot box. Be very, very mindful. Your vote will be rejected if you thumbprint for more than one candidate, leave it blank, or if it's missing a validating stamp at the back. So take note. After voting, officials would conduct a transparent count. Ballots will be verified, sorted, and counted, with party agents carefully observing every step of the process. And yes, remember, this election is your opportunity to choose leaders who represent you. So step out on December 7th to vote and let your voice be heard. Your vote is your future. Remember, we vote with our thumbs, not guns. Weapons have no place at the police station.
My name is Abuna, and I'm a mother of two. My husband, Kujo, whom I like to call my first son, likes to enjoy himself after work. My daughter, Nanekia, loves nature and flowers. She wants to become a florist in future. As a result of these, they are always exposed to parasitic worms. And because I'm aware of the harm the worms can cause the human body, I protect my family with Z400 Albendazole. Z400 is effective against worms such as tapeworm, roundworm, and hookworm, and it comes in the form of syrup and tablets. Z400 Albendazole is good for both adults and children from 2 years and above. Z400 Albendazole, good protection for the whole family.
Not recommended for pregnant women and lactating mothers.
This advert is FDA approved.
Are you tired of the hassle and stress of owning a property in Accra? Do you crave quality, beauty, elegance and security in a serene environment? Then look no further than Elegant Homes and General Construction. Our homes are architecturally unique with detailed finishes. They also come with 24-hour security, tarred roads, solar streetlights, covered drains, and are constructed within Shetty. At Elegant Homes, we offer you a truly serene environment with social amenities and, oh, payment terms that are super flexible. Elegant Homes also fabricates and sells high-quality UPVC windows, doors, profiles, plasterboards, gypsum adhesives, and other building materials. Visit our office, Katamanso. Contact us via the following phone numbers: 0244-699-053, 0576-597-419 or 0248-974-428. All our numbers are available on WhatsApp. Visit our website at www.eleganthomesgh.com. Elegant Homes, where quality meets value.
They came, they cooked, judges scored, you voted, and now, who wins the ultimate prize? Will it be Koforidua Technical University, Takoradi Technical University, Kumasi Technical University, or will Ho Technical University retain the title? Be at the Great Hall of Kumasi Technical University on the 1st of December 2024 to witness culinary skills, mouth-watering dishes, and drama. Performances by Strongman, Coffee Tuesday, Sandy Global, and Bad Boy Thai. Audience must be seated by 3 p.m. sharp. Vote for your favorite by dialing *711*60# and follow the prompt. Big Chef Tertiary Season 2 is proudly brought to you by Frital Cooking Oil. You deserve a life of goodness. Fortune Spread, delicious all-purpose margarine. Hallmark Cafe. Visit us today and taste the future of fine dining. Hallmark Cafe, a delight in every sip and bite. Chefware, confidence in action. Indomie, you like no other. Deadel Spices, taste day inside. Enterprise Life, earn points and get rewarded. Kivo Hot Pepper, Meko Show, Beagle Drinks, Verna Purified Water, McBerry Breakfast Cereal, Ecobank Ghana, The Pan-African Bank, Chanel Rice, Rice Premium Quality, Dettol Soap, Intigas Kitchen, your premium kitchen solution, K-Net, Salty Water, Levon 2, and City Blood Tonic, and supported by Adansi Travels, Western Serene Atlantic Hotel, Volta Serene Hotel, Micklin Hotel, Grand Casamora Hotel, and Gariba Lodge. Big Chef Tertiary. The kitchen has no boundary.
Ghana stands at a crossroads. Air pollution, a silent crisis, claims thousands of lives each year and incurs billions in economic losses. Yet despite its devastating impact, clean air remains largely absent from political conversations. As we approach the 2024 elections, this national dialogue will scrutinize the manifestos of political parties to see where they stand on the urgent need for clean air. Join experts, policymakers, activists, and citizens as we delve into the health and economic toll of air pollution, its link to climate change, and the social injustices it amplifies. This dialogue will also uncover the resources at Ghana's disposal and highlight how decisive action can safeguard the health of citizens, spur economic growth, and position Ghana as a leader in environmental stewardship. Make your voice count. Choose a future where clean air is a priority. It's live on Joy News, Joy 99.7 FM, and at myjoyonline.com on the 26th of November 2024 at the Ghana Institution of Engineering, Roman Ridge, at 10 a.m. This broadcast is brought to you with funding from the Clean Air Fund Ghana. Clean air, clear choice. Your vote for a healthy Ghana.
My name is Kujo Yangson. I'm the host of the Super Morning Show on Joy. Information is not in and of itself complete. The final stage for information to be complete is when you consume it. Okay? So when information is being transmitted all around social media, when people are talking, whichever, when you hear information or when information is passing around, it is not yet complete. The moment you hear it and accept it, then the information is complete. You are the one who closes the loop. So you have the most important job of deciding whether or not information will be passed on or whether it will die with you. Now, information that is not true must die with you. Because if you pass it on, you are passing on a disease. And you don't want to do that. So you, as the final gatekeeper, must know how to determine whether the information you receive is a disease or is the cure. So you have to learn and develop the skills that help you to identify what is the truth. And it's not that difficult. Keep paying attention to content from these platforms and handles, and you will learn how.
This message is brought to you by the Department of Communication Studies, University of Ghana, with support from the Canadian High Commission in Accra.
Every day, people have money emergencies. Ma, I need my school fees emergency. My shop money emergency. Emergency, emergency.
Crash it. I'm your rent.
Emergency. Now, there's a new emergency number in town.
More money, challenge and enjoyment. At the top life we got.
Dial star 770 hash for all your money emergencies and top life.
Dial star 770 hash for money emergencies and get easy and quick access to your money, loans, and other banking needs. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Media freedoms must not be taken for granted. They have to be constantly justified, constantly reaffirmed, and constantly strengthened. We need the media badly in a growing democracy. There must be the trade of ideas when it comes to the politics, and the attacks on journalists certainly must stop. As a lawyer who defends journalists who have been assaulted, I can say that the circumstance is worrying and it has to stop. Defend media freedoms. I am Samson Ladi Anyenini.
This festive season, it's time to go big and go loud. Because with GoTV, Bronya City. From match days and movie days. To local stories, big little adventures.
Really?
It's unmatched entertainment for the whole family.
Yes.
GoTV brings the joy anytime, anywhere. Get your festive season sorted. Get GoTV.
Thank you.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Joy News channel. We just brought you the Joy News Clean Air Dialogue. We're just gauging the thoughts of the political parties as we head to the polls. We heard from the NDC, the NPP. We heard from Movement for Change and the New Force, how they plan to ensure that they provide safer and cleaner air as we head to the polls. And that dialogue went on for a couple of hours. Now, though, let me take you to the Energy Commission. We have been discussing about the issues in the energy sector for a couple of days now. It has led our news bulletins because we did not have enough power producers contributing power to the national grid. Now, the Energy Commission, they're having a dialogue this morning. They're looking at 3 decades of the energy sector reforms. They're highlighting some of the good times and the bad times, just highlighting the whole performance of the sector. Let's take you there live and listen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this very exciting day for us here at the Energy Commission at our very beautiful Nearly Zero Energy Building. My name is Linda Mensah, and it gives me the greatest pleasure to be your Madam of Ceremonies this morning. Without much ado, we will invite Engineer John Ejay, Senior Manager at the Energy Commission, to give us the opening prayer.
Good morning. Shall we bow down our heads and pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to launch this great academy. According to your word in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, it says that we should commit our works into your hands and our thoughts will be established. And so, Lord, we commit this academy into your hands. We ask that you take absolute control in the name of Jesus. Make it a household name, not only in Ghana, but all across the globe, even in the name of Jesus. Every plan of the evil one concerning this academy by this prayer, we abort it even in Jesus' name. We commit the rest of today's program into your hands. Take absolute control and have your own way. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you, John. So next on the bill, we want to invite the landlord to welcome us to his beautiful house. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome my boss, Engineer Oscar Amonuniza.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give us the welcome address.
Good morning to everyone. The Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable John Kwabena Sani, MP for Impoho constituency in the Western Region, Chairman of the Board of the Energy Commission, Professor Ebenezer Odrowusu, members of the Board of the Energy Commission, our guest of honor, Professor K. Brichum Nyakung, Provost, College of Engineering, KNUST, our keynote speaker, Engineer Jabez Emisa Arthur, co-founder of the Arthur Energy Advisors. Our distinguished panel members, Dr. Kwamina Ofosu Ahinkura, Mr. Michael Opam, and Mr. Ishmael Ejekumhine. Our moderator for today, Mami Tabwa Anko, management and staff of the Energy Commission, representative from Evera, distinguished guests, our friends from the media, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Energy Commission and to the very first event to be hosted in this, our newly commissioned Nearly Zero Energy Building, Ghana's first, where we celebrate a visionary platform established by the Commission to empower energy professionals across Africa. It is a great honor and immense pride that I welcome you all to this historic occasion, the official launch of the Energy Academy. Today, we are not only celebrating the birth of an institution that will shape the future of Ghana's energy sector, but also reflecting on a legacy of progress through the Energy Forum as we evaluate 30 years of reforms in our energy sector. Over the past three decades, Ghana has significantly transformed its energy landscape. The journey has been challenging and rewarding, from ambitious reforms aimed at restructuring the sector to innovative solutions addressing energy access and sustainability. The Energy Forum, accompanying this launch of the Academy, offers us a unique opportunity to pause, reflect, and draw lessons from our shared history. It is a space to evaluate how far we have come and identify the path forward as we strive for an inclusive, resilient, and sustainable energy sector. The Energy Academy we launched today is a direct response to lessons from the past. We recognize that the cornerstone of a thriving energy sector is its people. Skilled professionals, empowered by knowledge and innovation, are essential to tackling the challenges of energy security, access, and sustainability. The Academy will provide cutting-edge training, foster innovation, and build capacity in energy policy formulation, renewable energy, energy efficiency, electricity, natural gas regulation, local content and local participation, electrical wiring certification, and all critical aspects to realizing our national energy goals. Ladies and gentlemen, as we reflect on 30 years of energy reforms, we acknowledge that collaboration has made our progress possible. The partnerships between government, private sector players, development agencies, and civil society have been instrumental in shaping Ghana's energy trajectory. Similarly, the success of the Energy Academy would depend on the same spirit of collective action. I extend my profound gratitude to our partners and stakeholders who have supported both this launch and the accompanying forum. Your commitment to advancing Ghana's energy agenda is indeed invaluable. My special thanks also go to the GIZ for this spectacular gift, which we know will be instrumental in shoring up the number of efficient buildings in Ghana. I must also register our profound appreciation to the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, KNUST, for graciously accepting to collaborate with us in this historic endeavor. As we officially launch the Energy Academy today, I urge all of us to engage actively in the discussions at the forum. Let us celebrate our achievements, confront our challenges, and renew our commitment to a brighter energy future. Together, we can ensure that Ghana's energy sector in the next 30 years will be defined by innovation, inclusivity, and sustainability. Once again, I warmly welcome you all and thank you for joining us on this remarkable journey. Thank you, and God bless us all.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, one Abigail Adams once said, "Learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought for with ardor and attended to with diligence." And why is learning important? It's because the more you know, the more you can do. Today's historic event is a platform poised to equip professionals in the local and global energy space to know more so that they can do more. This morning, we cannot do this work all by ourselves as Energy Commission, so we have very able men and women to assist us in carrying out this very, very laudable project. And I want us all to welcome The Deputy Minister for Energy, who is here, representing the Honorable Minister for Energy, who has to attend to other equally pressing issues. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us the Deputy Honorable Minister, Kobina Aban Abua Sani. Please let's give him a round of applause for coming. I believe we also have with us the representative of the News Vice Chairman, if she's here or if he's here, Professor K. Brichu Miako, Provost College of Engineering. Gentlemen, he's on his way. Thank you very much. So I will now introduce the chairperson for today's event. He is the board chairman of the Energy Commission. He is also the president of the Presbyterian University, Ghana, University of Ghana, Professor Ebenezer Odrowusu. He is a university administrator who served as the vice chancellor of the University of Ghana from 1st August 2016 to 31st July 2021. Before becoming vice chancellor, Prof served as a professor of entomology at the University of Ghana's Department of Animal Biology and Conservation Science. He was also the provost of the College of Basic and Applied Sciences, University of Ghana. He also held the positions of vice dean of the Faculty of Science, chairman of the Volta Basin Research Project, and dean and acting dean of the School of Biological Sciences. He was the chairman of the Cocoa Research Institute of Ghana board from 2017 to 2020. In August 2008, Professor Usu was significantly decorated as a living legend by the people of Kochi, Japan, for his contribution to science and the internalization of Kochi City. Ladies and gentlemen, shall we welcome the chairman of this very important occasion, our board chairman, Professor Ebenezer Odro Usu, to give us his opening remarks. Off.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. Colleagues, let me lean on the protocol already established. So I roll on right from that point. Let me indicate that it is with deep sense of responsibility that I accept the honor of chairing today's proceedings, which mark not only the launch of the Energy Academy, but also the opening of the Energy Forum, evaluating 3 decades of reform in Ghana's energy sector. This dual event is a testament to the thoughtful planning and visionary leadership of the Energy Commission. Now, the Energy Forum provides us a timely opportunity to reflect on 30 years of progress, challenges, and innovations in Ghana's energy sector. It invites us to evaluate the impact of reforms on energy access, security, and sustainability while charting a path for an even brighter future. Now, the Energy Academy also offers us the opportunity to impact positively on individuals who want to build knowledge in the energy area. To this end, I accept the position of chairman, and as chairman of today's proceedings, I pledge to guide us through meaningful discussions that will enrich the forum and inspire actionable insights. Let us use this occasion to reflect deeply on our shared history and renew our commitment to advancing Ghana's energy future. I thank you all for being here today to contribute to this significant event. Together, let us make today's proceedings a resounding success. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prof. And with that green light from our chairman, we want to acknowledge the presence of a few people here with us to support us today. We have with us some board members of the Energy Commission. And I want to mention Pemberua, Mr. Dari Hassan. Thank you, sir. Mr. Aristophanes Jesse. Dr. Mensa Bunsu. Thank you, sir, for coming. So we'll be introducing more people as we go along. At this juncture, I want to hear how it all started, how we arrived at this juncture. We want to invite the Deputy Director of Renewable Energy, Mr. Frederick Kenapia, to give us an overview of the academy. Give him a round of applause.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Chairman, our board chairman, Honorable Deputy Minister, Executive Secretary, I want to stand on existing protocols and present briefly on the overview of the Energy Academy. I think it started when our former board, a former Executive Secretary started or constituted a committee called Innovation Committee. That's in the person of Mr. Michael Opam. And I think along the line, it went down or defunct. So when our existing Executive Secretary came into office, he realized, in his handing over note, he realized there was an innovation committee. So he rejuvenated it and set up a 10-member committee to look at how we can bring innovation into the commission's activities. And I remember the first time we met was in Pram Pram City Escape. And when we're deliberating on ideas that we collated from staff, idea of Energy Academy came up. We knew that one of our former member or staff wanted to do one on local content. So we said, when we're deliberating, we realized there was existing document like that. We said, oh, we have to broaden it because we have built certain expertise. So I present on that. So basically, Energy Commission is a regulator of choice. We say it's a regulator of choice because many times we get delegation from African countries, especially Sub-Saharan Africa and even West Africa, coming to Energy Commission to learn about how we've been doing our things, because almost every document that even researchers even reference, you find Energy Commission, energy statistics, energy policy that we've done. And so we said that why don't we put a structured platform where we can deliver the knowledge transfer. Even last month, a delegation from Gambia, they come from the boards, the ministries, the regulators, everybody, they come and learn from Ghana's experience. And also we've seen that we've been producing experts, and at the end of their service in the public service, they become very, very useful to the African continent. We say that, oh, we have experts in out there. Why don't we also create that, use that platform to bring this expert to transfer knowledge across anybody who wants it in Africa? And then also, we also realize that people travel to abroad for certain courses, and they use Africa as a case study. And most of the times, they have to refer to Ghana's successes. And therefore, we wanted to consolidate all these efforts, and we therefore created this platform called the Energy Academy. And the purpose is to just empower energy professionals across the African continent using cutting-edge training technologies and so on. And so basically, it's to share knowledge and also create a platform for experts to impart knowledge. And lastly, to make sure that at least we have continuous pool of experts that we can draw and industry can also pick it from. We went through certain process, went through the procurement process, wanted somebody to, or an institution to help us put a framework to this whole idea, went through the procurement process, and thankfully we got the Bruhammond Energy Center at the KNUSD, that's Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, winning the bid. So we supported them, they also supported us and put the framework to the whole idea and develop the course modules, course content, and everything concerning the academy, even the learning management system, and even the website, which I will show you. And we went through the study. They studied across Africa and across the world how energy academies have performed, and then we transferred some of the knowledge and so on. So we've done all these now. we are in the implementation stage. Our unique proposition is that we are in this nice building, which is a net zero, some will say nearly net zero energy building, where it's eco-friendly. Our courses are accredited because of the collaboration we have with KNUST. We have an electronic library that we have linked the academy to. So there's a repository of certain research information or data that the academy, anybody who train here, will have access to. It's even open to the public in the energy sector or anybody.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's human, we call something human library linked to it, and also study tour, and we have expert to deliver. And as I said, we signed an MOU, as delivered by Executive Secretary, we signed an MOU with the KNUST, the Vice Chancellor. We're very glad to have that collaboration and that they have supported the Academy to reach this stage. Even though we have five thematic areas, and the Academy is not competing with the traditional universities or course delivered. No, it's tailor-made. We are looking at continuous professional development courses, short courses that will help industry players. Because some of the courses, you never find them. Wiring, how wiring was developed and be able to train a whole, almost like 15,000 electricians. You've certified them. I don't think you can find it any course. Local content development in the electric supply industry, energy efficiency. We have passed almost like over 20 regulations on energy efficient appliances. You will not find. Even we have regulations on standards and labeling for solar panels, inverters, and so on. You will not find them. So we have energy policy, because within our mandate, we deal with energy policy, regulation, renewable energy planning, and so on. So we have energy policy and regulation, energy planning, renewable energy, energy efficiency and conservation, energy data analytics, and so on. So on the platform, on the course, if you want to sign on, you get all these things. You can choose a model. So I'm just going to flip through some of the things. So energy policy analysis, there are certain modules, about four modules that you can get. We will look at examples. So we have oil and gas and natural gas regulation, renewable energy policy development, power system regulations, local content, local participation, and wiring, and a whole lot. For the energy planning, we have energy systems planning, integrated resource planning. We have the markets and planning. We also have the forecasting and also climate change. With the renewables, we have the renewable energy technologies, and some are just two weeks, some are just 1 week course, and so on. Renewable energy economics, project development, grid integration of renewable energy, and energy efficiency. We have the management and audit, industrial equipment, energy efficiency in those areas, electric vehicles and e-mobility, and the rest. In terms of data analytics, we have energy security and geopolitics. We know how it interplays. Energy data analytics, innovation, technology, research methods, and so on. So we have a whole lot of, and we even have, I didn't present, we have a tailor-made course for even boards. So when they are inaugurated or when they come into office afresh, sometimes some of the board members are not so much abreast with the energy terminologies and so on. So we even have a tailor-made courses for newly constituted boards. And so in the energy sector, or even for media and so on. So this is the web page. When you open, you land on this eacademy.energycom.gov.gh, and it gives you the overview. There are courses. You click, you know the number of weeks, you know the costs, and then it gives you the course content, the course instructor, and we have even created, through the help of KNUST, a studio where even a lecturer or instructor can just walk in and deliver the online virtually. We just plug in your materials, the cameras are all set, And we learned all these things from KNUSC. They have a robust e-learning platform. And thank you very much, KNUSC. And we've linked it to the e-library, which will be hosted here in a far right room there, even though currently it's in the existing building. So in a nutshell, we are ready to go. We've done our dry run. We want you to partner. We know there are so many experts here. So just contact us and see how best we can collaborate, get you on board, and certain need that we need to deliver and solve within the African continent, we can develop something around that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred, for that beautiful presentation. We are inching towards a very important, or the climax of the event. And before that, I want to acknowledge the presence of some few people here. We have with us Lawyer Kwame Jantua. Thank you for coming, sir. We have, of course, very, very old boss, not old in age, but he was the longest serving Executive Secretary of the Energy Commission, and we are ever proud to have him in army. Dr. Ankra, welcome home. And next to him is another old boss. Ms. Opam, we are happy to see you. Welcome home. We want to acknowledge all our board members here, our management members. Thank you. And then all our invitees, we see you. We may not mention you individually, but we are very grateful you could join us. Ladies and gentlemen, with a round of applause, shall we welcome the Deputy Minister to give us his address. And he'll be launching the academy immediately after his address. Thank you. Honorable Sun.
Thank you very much, Madam MC. We are in the morning. So good morning, everyone. The board chairman and executive secretary of the Energy Commission, distinguished guests, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen, let me also lean on existing protocols, as the board chairman said, to deliver my maiden address, because it's the first time stepping into this auditorium. It is a privilege to welcome you all on behalf of the Honorable Minister for Energy, Herbert Clapper, for this momentous occasion where we gather to launch the Energy Academy and Energy Forum series to reflect on 30 years of reforms in Ghana's energy sector. This dual event symbolizes both our progress and the bold steps we are taking to secure a sustainable energy future. Allow me to reiterate the sentiment my minister shared during the commissioning and handover of the nearly zero energy building. With its eco-friendly design and advanced functionality, this state of the art facility stands as a powerful testament to Ghana's unwavering commitment to sustainable development and innovation. It represents a remarkable milestone in our energy infrastructure and a symbol of what is possible when vision and partnership align. As the home of the Energy Academy, the building is a fitting foundation for shaping the next generation of energy leaders and solutions. Once again, I extend our deepest gratitude to the German government and to GIZ for their instrumental role in bringing this beautiful edifice to life. Your support and partnership have made this achievement possible, and we are profoundly thankful for your continual collaboration in advancing Ghana's energy sector. We are also deeply indebted to you, Madam Vice Chancellor, to the entire Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology for the crucial collaboration that has birthed this remarkable institution. Distinguished guests, the dean for this event, 3 decades for energy sector reforms in Ghana, reflecting on performance and shaping a sustainable future, is both timely and significant. This theme captures the spirit of today's event and the broader journey of Ghana's energy sector, journey of transformation, resilience, and ambition. Over the past 3 decades, Ghana's energy sector has undergone transformative reforms that have had the foundation for the progress we see today. From regulatory frameworks that opened the door to private sector participation, to effort to improve energy access, reliability, sustainability. These reforms have powered industries, driven economic growth, improved the quality of life for millions of Ghanaians. However, as we reflect on our achievement, we must recognize persistent challenges. The global energy landscape is evolving rapidly, with a strong push towards decarbonization, technological innovation, sustainable energy solutions. For Ghana to remain competitive and resilient, we must adapt and innovate. Ladies and gentlemen, the dean challenges us to evaluate past lessons, address the gaps, and chart a bold course towards future that balances growth, inclusivity, and sustainability. The lesson learned, experts cultivated during these transformative years have laid a solid foundation for the academy's establishment. The reforms brought visionary policies, institutional strengthening, and the development of skilled professionals who have driven the sector's growth. The Academy seeks to build on the legacy, serving as a bridge between the inside gain from the past and the aspiration for the future. It embodies the knowledge, experience, innovation honed over the years, ensuring that Ghana continues to lead in shaping the sustainable, resilient energy sector. Through the forums, discussions, and academics training, we are creating a virtuous cycle of learning and innovation that will guide energy sector reforms in Ghana and beyond. The Energy Academy, which we officially launched today, is a critical part of this vision. It is designed to be a premier center for learning, collaboration, and innovation, offering transformative training and certification programs to meet the demands of our energy sector. The Academy intends to build on this important initial collaboration with Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology to partner institutions like the Brew Harmon Energy Center, international organizations, and lead industry players to deliver cutting-edge instruction insight aimed to position Ghana at the forefront of the global energy development. Housed within the impressive Near Zero Energy Building, the Academy embodies the principles of sustainability that we champion. This eco-friendly environment reflects our commitment to green practices and inspired participants to think innovatively about the future of energy. Ladies and gentlemen, I am told that the Academy will host an electronic library where participants can access digital resources and e-books to support research and lifelong learning. It will also offer a platform for energy professionals to publish their works to be accessed globally. Whether you are a seasoned executive, a policy advisor, a researcher, or an emerging professional, the Academy offers you a gateway to advance your career whilst making a meaningful impact in the energy sector.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So, on my behalf of, on behalf of government, I commend Energy Commission and all stakeholders for their vision and commitment. The Energy Academy will be a shining example of what can be achieved when we align our ambitions and resources towards a common goal. On this note, ladies and gentlemen, and with a great pride and optimism, I officially launch the Energy Academy and look forward to the outcome of this important forum. Together, let's ensure that the next 3 decades of Ghana energy sector are defined by innovation, inclusivity, and sustainability. Thank you and congratulations to all who have made this vision a reality.
Thank you very much, Honorable. And 3 cheers to the Energy Academy. Hip, hip, hip. Hip, hip, hip. Oh, aren't you excited? Hip, hip, hip. Thank you all. You've been part of history. Thank you all very much. Very soon, we'll be launching into the first edition of the Energy Forum series. And we'll be hearing from our keynote speaker, who is here in his very admirable hat, Engineer Jabesh Emisa Atta. Let's give him a round of applause. We'll be introducing him in detail when he comes to give his speech. He's accompanied by his beautiful wife, an expert in the sector too. Auntie Harriet, welcome. We also have with us the lawyer counsel for ERERA, Monsieur Charles Ndiaye. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going downstairs for our photographs, and then we'll come back here to sit on the first edition of the Energy Forum series. Just a second. Okay, so I understand there's a door behind me that we are going to use. So we led by the dignitaries. Okay.
Then welcome.
Honorable
only dignitaries. Only dignitaries for now.
We need to drastically transform.
Right. Thank you very much. So dignitaries.
Designed to empower energy professionals
to be able to do that
in Africa. Imagine where you gain cutting edge skills in energy policy, renewable energy, efficiency, and regulation. All key to transforming the future of global energy. At the Energy Academy, we are more than a learning center. We are a hub of innovation and collaboration. With top-tier training and certification programs, we put you at the heart of global energy.
V They came, they cooked, judges scored, you voted, and now, who wins the ultimate prize? Will it be Koforidua Technical University, Takoradi Technical University, Kumasi Technical University, or will Ho Technical University retain the title? Be at the Great Hall of Kumasi Technical University on the 1st of December 2024 to witness culinary skills, mouth-watering dishes, and drama performances by Strongman, Coffee Tuesday, Sandy Global, and Bad Boy Thai. Audience must be seated by 3 p.m. sharp. Vote for your favorite by dialing *711*60# and follow the prompt. Big Chef Tertiary Season 2 is proudly brought to you by Frital Cooking Oil. You deserve a life of goodness. Fortune Spread, delicious all-purpose margarine. Hallmark Cafe, visit us today and taste the future of fine dining. Hallmark Cafe, a delight in every sip and bite. Chefware, confidence in action. Indomie, you like no other. Dedo Spices, taste day inside. Enterprise Life, earn points and get rewarded. Kivo Hot Pepper, Meko Show, Beagle Drinks, Verna Purified Water, McBerry Breakfast Cereal, Ecobank Ghana, The Pan-African Bank, Chanel Rice, Rice Premium Quality, Dettol Soap, Intigas Kitchen, your premium kitchen solution, K-Net, Salty Water, Levon 2, and City Blood Tonic, and supported by Adansi Travels, Western Serene Atlantic Hotel, Volta Serene Hotel, Micklin Hotel, Grand Casamora Hotel, and Gariba Lodge. Big Chef Tertiary, the kitchen has no boundary.
Ghana stands at a crossroads. Air pollution, a silent crisis, claims thousands of lives each year and incurs billions in economic losses. Yet despite its devastating impact, clean air remains largely absent from political conversations. As we approach the 2020...
Every day, people have money emergencies. Ma, I need my school fees emergency. My chop money emergency. Emergency.
Catch it. I'm your ready.
Emergency. Now, there's a new emergency number in town.
More money, challenge and enjoyment. At the top life, we got
it. Dial *770# for all your money emergencies from Chop Life.
Dial *770# for money emergencies and get easy and quick access to your money, loans, and other banking needs. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Over the past 7 years,